When I say transformation, what comes to mind for you? What does that word evoke for you, to transform? You heard the definition. The word comes from combining two Latin roots, trans, to go across, to transverse, to transition, and form, the shape of a thing. Some of you don't think about Latin roots, though. You think of other things, maybe spring. And the way the world changes again, it's hard not to think about spring today. If you're a certain age, about my age, which is to say you think of transformers, of course, those cars and trucks that transformed into fighting machines, more than meets the eye. Or some of you perhaps thought of electrical equipment, the device that moves a current from one coil to another. I don't think Dave is here today, but it's surely what he would have thought of. Maybe you thought about social change, what it means to transform our society, or about the local effort called Transform Rockford, which some of you are involved in. I have to tell you that I'm becoming less and less impressed by the word transformation. This notion of changing everything at once is not always helpful. Systems are sticky. Things don't work like that most of the time. There are not that many magic bullets. Instead of a transformational model, I think more and more about developmental models. Steady, iterative progress. Improvements to what is, step by step. Both social issues and personal ones. You don't transform overnight, usually. It takes work, especially if you want it to stick. And yet, there is an allure to the idea of transformation, the moment when everything changes, the turning point, when it all shifts, when you decide, though you're way overdue, you'll be starting anew. And there are such moments, aren't there? When I asked a group about these turning points, when did your life turn? Folks named these extraordinary moments. When you realize that you are not who you were, and when you start out on a new journey. They talked about when their oldest child was born. They talked about when they came to this church for the first time. They talked about when they changed careers. They talked about when a relationship ended or when it began. And the common thread was that there was this moment and everything starts to change, but then you live into it over time. You readjust to the new reality. One of the most profound moments of transformation in many people's lives, one of those turning point moments, is the day when someone enters recovery from addiction, the day they have their last drink, the day they gamble for the last time, the day they cut themselves for the last time. This morning, Michelle and I are going to talk a little bit about this, about addiction and recovery and transformation, and about the lessons from that folks who have sustained their recoveries have learned. Lessons that are important to all of us. For those of us in recovery, which I know is many of you, and for those of us who deal with someone in our life who has an addiction, whether they're in recovery or not, and friends, here is what I know. I suspect that every single person in this room deals with someone who has an addiction, whether they're in recovery or not. Am I right about that? But it's also a lesson for those of us who think about other transformations. Family, love, calling, career, health, spirit, life in general. Because the spiritual lessons, the emotional lessons that folks in recovery have learned apply to all of us, addiction or not. When we would wish to make a change, when we would wish to be free, when we would wish to feel deep peace, when we would wish to start anew, even if we're way overdue. So three lessons, three hard-won pieces of wisdom. First, though you don't know where you're going. Though you don't know where you're going. Start even though you don't know where you're going. Passover begins tomorrow night, and I do hope many of you will join us for Seder on Friday. Have I mentioned that? Sign up today. Passover is a transformational story. A story of leaving. A story of crossing over the Red Sea, of crossing over the desert, of beginning and figuring out who we are as we travel. And the best known rule about Passover, that you eat only unleavened bread, reflects this. You have to go now, not later, not when things are ready, now. So the dough isn't ready. So your heart isn't ready. You haven't said goodbye to the places you hid as a child, to the friends who aren't interested in the journey, to the graves you've tended. But if you wait until you feel fully ready, you may never take the leap at all. If you wait until you feel fully ready, you may never take the leap at all. Folks I know who are in recovery didn't wait for a special day to stop smoking or stop drinking. They didn't say, I'll do it tomorrow, after the holidays. They didn't tie up loose ends or have a last one with the guys, because you know what? There's always an excuse to wait. If conditions have to be just right, you'll never transform yourself. You'll never start that good new habit. So you just have to start. You have to set out even though you're not ready. When transformation happens, that's how it goes. You don't know how to parent when your first child is born. You just have to start. You don't know what it means to embark on the journey of faith. You just start. You don't know what you'll need when you decide to remake your life. You just have to pick that stuff up as you go. And when you enter recovery, you don't know what it will be like. You just start. You will become yourself in a way you could not imagine. When you start painting what your heart longs for and stop living a fake life, you're not ready, but you do it anyway. You begin before the bread can rise. It's important to have this sense that you begin when you're not ready so that you don't give up when it's hard. Because most folks with addictions leave recovery over and over and over again before it sticks, and much of the time, whether the addiction is drugs or codependency or consumption or whatever, much of the time the reason is that they decide they're not ready to be without. I have to do this first. I have to solve this first. I'm not ready to handle it right now. I'll do it later. But you're never ready. You're never ready to transform. You just start. You just pick up the brush and begin. You lace up the shoes and start out. You just wake up and start living the way you want. You're never ready. You just start.
We start where we are and when we are, wherever and whenever that may be. Some of us start from the lowest point, from absolute zero, where the motion of atoms stops. For many of us, it starts with listening to ourselves, our internal voice, sometimes for the first time ever. Paying attention requires being in the moment. The call comes from the depths of the soul, like a small lost voice calling from the bottom of a deep, dark well. And the voice that is calling out is saying, "Help me. I'm scared and I don't know what to do." I'm familiar with this voice, with this narrative, as I have heard this voice myself, and I'm sure that some other folks here have heard it as well. I knew that it was my best, my highest self, struggling to be heard from the well of guilt and shame and anger and fear, all components of addiction. And I wasn't ready, and I was scared to start. But I knew about the 12 steps, and the first step was coming to mind, namely, that I had to admit that I was powerless over this part of myself, and that my life was indeed unmanageable. So I picked up the phone, and I called an old friend who I knew was long into his recovery, and I told him the truth. He reminded me, "You are not alone, and you can do this one day at a time." One day at a time. That phrase has saved me and countless other people over and over again. It contains wisdom and grace and self-compassion and truth. Because the present moment is all we have. We cannot live in the future. We cannot live in the past. Only the now. And that is the truth. The trouble is that addictions lie to us, using all the emotive tools I mentioned earlier, singing a siren song that lures us and draws us under. But inevitably, the song is full of illusions of the past and the future. If I wasn't so stressed out by other people, I could stop. If only I was a better wife, he'd love me more. It's too late for me to change. We don't have control over the past, and we can't control the future. But right now, this very moment, we do have the power to choose. To choose a different way. To choose life and living over stagnation and death. One day at a time. This phrase, one day at a time, is what I call the wisdom of the rooms. The rooms meaning wherever folks in recovery meet to support each other, to share their experience, their strength, and their hope. There is a lot of wisdom shared in the rooms. But this particular phrase stands out to me as a kind of lifeline, a mantra that keeps me from being overwhelmed. I frequently pair this mantra, one day at a time, with another that I learned from a seminary professor, one that roots me in the present moment. Be here now. Progress and transformation takes time. And that time starts with the first step, the act of realization and movement. And we never need to take that first step alone. If we are willing to ask for help, if we are willing to accept the lifeline thrown to us, if we are humble enough to admit that the world is larger than ourselves and our addiction, there is a way to freedom, and we will take it one day at a time.
I love that phrase, with the wisdom of the rooms. The wisdom of the rooms. Once we've begun, even though we weren't ready, and once we've taken the first step and the first day and the second day and at a time, one day at a time, well, then we need someone to lean on. We need someone to lean on. I know of no one who has successfully sustained the recovery without friends to join in the journey. I know of no one who successfully sustained recovery without friends to join in the journey. I know folks who've moved from one addiction to another. I stopped doing this and I start doing that. But to actually sustain a recovery, to live into the new you, you need someone to lean on. The 12-step group for many folks, or just one good friend that you can call when you doubt yourself, when you're not sure, someone who can tell you the truth. And you listen. The individualistic hero narrative, forget it. It's nonsense. The solo journey all by myself, it's not how it works. We need a little help from our friends. We need folks who accompany us in our transformed life. For the recovering, it's folks in recovery. But whatever you are starting anew, whenever you are starting anew, find companions for that journey. Running buddies, other newly single friends, other new parents, newly retired neighbors, other new church members. Another abstract painter asking you not what it is, but how do you feel? Find those that you can lean on and who in time will lean on you as you become who you were meant to be. Don't try this alone. Start even though you're not ready. Take it one day at a time. Lean on your friends. And then transformation is possible. Recovery, finding what you have lost, is possible. A new beginning is possible. And maybe with work and a little bit of luck, maybe that transformation will be sustained in you. That does not happen automatically. You keep at it. There are no quick fixes. Quick fixes are addiction mindset. Sustained work is spiritual mindset. You keep at it. Eventually something happens. You become free of the chains holding you, and you can soar like a bird. You become free of the distractions, the lies, and the illusions that you thought were true. And then something beautiful happens. Something beautiful and terrifying. You face yourself. You become yourself. You always heard the colors sing, but you resisted for so long, and it's terrifying to feel those colors, but finally you did, to show your work. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, you will have come. And to where? Home. Grace has brought me home. Home to yourself. This is a Unitarian Universalist, religiously liberal, humanistic notion of transformation. You do not transform into someone new, into some other person. No. You transform into yourself. The beautiful, loving, grace-filled self that was always at your heart from the day you were born. Maybe you were wounded. Maybe you made mistakes. Maybe you got trapped. Whatever. But the work of transformation isn't piling on layers to appear to be someone else. The work of transformation is peeling away layers so that you can breathe. So that you can shine, so that you can be you. You. The real, beautiful you. Start when you're not ready. Take it one day at a time. Lean on your friends. And become. And sing gladness. And sing thanks for this joy, for this life which is calling unto you. You are loved. You are worthy. And you can do it. Arise in body or spirit.